the Sattler Files.
Welcome back to the Sattler Files, and this is the Relationship Files. Keith Flynn comes in and he tries to, I think he almost tries to counsel me while he's doing his segment, but I'm not sure he's succeeding. Welcome back, Keith. How are you?
I'm very good, Dispin. Yourself?
It's good. I'm fine. Now, we've been talking about change and we want to continue to talk about change because change is something that most of us are very resistant to, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Why are we so resistant to it?
Well, I was sort of thinking about this morning and I was asking myself that question in terms of some areas of my own life. And it's a little bit of a shame Murray's not here because last week he talked about wanting to learn an instrument.
I know, and you've brought the didgeridoo in, but that's okay. We can keep that for Murray for next time because I refuse to do it. Yeah.
So
there was no way I was going to be trying to play a didgeridoo.
No, it wasn't about...
On air or off air for that matter.
Yeah, it wasn't about learning to play. It was just that often we have, like, for example, Murray mentioned last week that he had a desire to learn an instrument, which is like creating some change. Mm. And yet he hasn't gone ahead and done it.
No, he hasn't.
And when I was growing...
Life tends to get in the way of things like that.
Exactly. And when I was growing up, when I was at high school, when I was in the music class, the instrument that I made a noise with was a tuba. Now, can you imagine being at high school?
You're saying you made a noise with it. You're not even trying to say that you played it.
Not played it, but you know, you got to start with something. So obviously that was something I'd managed to make a little bit of noise. So I remember vividly going home with this tuba. It stayed with me one night, and you'd imagine, you know, teenager with a tuba. That is not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool. I had a mate who played the trumpet and the piano and the guitar. I mean, that was a lot cooler. So that was my musical experience as a child. Like, tuba, not cool, end of story.
So it was over in 24 hours.
Exactly.
Very short relationship.
And my parents, you know, they were never into music as well. It wasn't until I got separated and divorced that I decided that I actually wanted to learn an instrument. And the first one I attempted was a guitar. So that started for a little while. That actually ended up with my son. And then I took on the sax and a flute. And I've been sort of self-taught.
Well, the sax is cool.
Yeah, the sax is cool.
The saxophone's really cool.
It is very cool.
And how do you have much success with it?
Yeah, I can play.
Can you play?
Yeah, I can. I wouldn't say I'm a...
Woody Allen, are you?
No. Does Woody Allen play?
Yeah, he does.
He does play
well.
Sax. Yeah,
in jazz clubs all over New York.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say I'm a Woody Allen. However, I can be, you know, belt out a bit of a tune, and I can play it a little bit.
Okay.
And I moved on to the flute because the fingering in the sax is the same as a flute. So I thought it was a lot easier if I'm traveling anywhere to take a flute.
Mm. Well, that would make sense. The saxophone is somewhat larger.
But it's a bit different to playing a flute than it is the sax. So I'm sort of using this as an example. Like, I think really the first thing about creating change is having some sort of strong desire and motivation to do it.
Well, I think motivation and desire, yeah, would be necessary.
And it has.
Well, no one can make you change unless you want to.
Exactly.
So if you don't want to, it doesn't happen. No. It won't happen.
And the thing about change too is when I started to play the flute, and again, the bit of the story there was I was actually travelling to New Zealand. And so the poor people on the plane had to put up with me where I had just the mouthpiece trying to make a noise out of this mouthpiece on the plane.
Why would you want to do that on the plane?
Well, it's a long flight. And I was just
I know.
I was determined.
It'd be like someone who happened to be traveling with their piano accordion and them saying, I think I'll play this on this 20-hour flight.
Well, I was just getting a lot. It wasn't really making much at all.
Okay.
So it was just to try and get that first noise.
Right. And did you?
Somewhere along the way I did.
And pressurized cabin and all.
Yeah, exactly. So somewhere along the way I actually started to make that noise. So again, it's about that persistence and the consistency, you know, of practicing to change a new habit or to learn to do something a new way, because it's so easy for a lot of people to give up and just go back to do what they've done in the past.
Well, that's what we usually do.
Yeah.
We all tend to do that.
Yeah. So, as you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of resistance to change.
Because it's so much easier just to continue on as you are. Change actually involves a bit of thinking, a bit of effort, and probably a fair bit of time.
Yeah.
So
it requires sometimes a little bit of hard work.
Well, and it does. And so it's so much easier just to say, oh, look, you know, I haven't got time to do this, or, you know, what I'm doing isn't so bad. I'll just carry on the way I'm going. Yeah. It's kept me going for so many years. I'm still standing, so it can't be too bad.
Yeah. And if you go and think about, like, if babies had that attitude,
they'd never learn to crawl, walk, or talk.
Exactly.
Because as a babies, I mean, they learn by falling over, getting the words wrong, and, you know, lying flat on their tummy and not moving.
Yeah. So, and they don't think about failing. They just think everyone else is doing this.
So is this something that we condition into people as they get older, that failure's there and you basically set yourself up for failure if you don't do this, that and the other?
That, and again, what's the most common word a baby learns?
No.
Yeah.
It's easier to say than yes. That's why.
Correct. And is it easier for parents to, when children go through that phase of going why, mm-hmm. why, is it easier to shut them up than it is to actually spend the time to...
No, the only way to shut them up is to actually tell them why, because they'll just continue to ask you.
At some point they give up.
Yeah, no, well, mine didn't.
Oh, good.
No, mine definitely didn't. When they asked why, they wanted an answer and they got one.
Oh, good.
Unless I didn't know the answer. And then I'd have to go and seek it out and then tell them.
Oh, now it's just Google.
Well, yeah, you can Google anything. Clarissa wanted a seafood chowder recipe. We were Googling it just before you came in, actually. Okay, so change. Why and how and what's the best way of doing it?
Well, the first thing is to get really clear on what you want to change.
Do you think we're the best judge of that? Do we really know what we're doing wrong? I mean, surely, intellectually, you'd say, well, if I'm doing something wrong and it's not getting me anywhere, surely that needs to change. Or is it? Do we become blind to these things?
Part of us become blind. When I say get really clear on it, often when I ask clients what do they want, they tell me what they don't want.
And what don't they want?
They don't want a bad relationship.
Mm.
They don't want the relationship they had in the past. They don't want to be fat. They don't want... They'll often tell me what they don't want.
Right.
Sometimes it's quite challenging to say, well, what is it that you do want? And
well, I suppose, I mean, unless if they're coming to you, they obviously, they obviously perceive they have an issue or a problem. Correct. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And that leads us on to many other questions about why do people not go and seek professional help when it's so evident and clear that they obviously need it? Well, obviously evident and clear to other people.
There's that favourite saying of mine, which I borrowed from someone else, which is, unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change.
I've heard you say this before, yes.
People won't change.
No, they won't.
So people will live in their comfort zone.
Even if it's not comfortable.
Correct. They'll live in their uncomfort zone because it's too much effort and it's too hard and it's to actually create the change.
Mm.
And it's too easy just to fall back on what they've done before.
Yeah.
And put up with feeling bad and it becomes a self-defeating cycle.
Mm. Mm.
And I talk about consistency. The only way I learnt the flute and the sax and I was self-taught was just to put some consistent time in it. And with the didgeridoo, one of the things with the didgeridoo is learning the circular breathing.
Mm.
So it's easy to sort of take one big breath and actually make a noise.
We have one somewhere. I think it's in a packing box somewhere, but we do have one. And they're not easy to play.
No. And it wasn't until I made a decision. I decided that I needed to get the circular breathing. I just made that decision. I'd had the didgeridoo for about probably 6 or 8 months. And I might have got one or two in there. And then one day I just simply decided enough's enough and I actually need to master this circular breathing. I need to actually be able to play it for more than like 60 seconds.
Right.
One breath.
Without passing out.
Without passing out.
Yes.
So here I'm sitting on my chair at home and I've got my timer going. And I'm counting the number of times that I can breath take a breath and keep on going. And it just, you know, I did it for one, great. And then I'd muck up and then I'd go back and I got a couple. And then I just persisted. And over about a week of consistently putting some time in, built on having some sporadic goes at it, I managed to get up to 3 minutes to 5 minutes. And then once I knew...
God, you can go deep sea diving now.
Oh, you can't breathe underwater.
No. but if you've conquered, if you've mastered the breathing technique, you probably could go scuba diving.
The secret of masking, the secret of the circular breathing is to breathe in while you're making a noise with the sound, with the lips going out. So you're still breathing. So coming back to change, it's really people getting to that point when they decide enough is enough.
Mm.
Enough's enough, and I want to have this change.
My relationship's going down the drain and something has to be done.
Yeah. And what are their choices? Fix it or leave it?
Mm.
Fix the relationship or leave the relationship?
But I don't know. People want quick fixes these days. Most tend to just jump out and leave it.
Right. And then what do they do?
Jump into the next one.
Taking all the same stuff with them.
All the same, all their problems, all their baggage, and they move on to the next one.
And what they, in my experience, what they miss out on is that they have this illusion that their next relationship is going to be better than the last one.
My next husband will be normal. It's one of those phrases.
And what they haven't done is actually realize that they're unconsciously attracted to the same type of person generally. And so because they're unconsciously...
Because we subconsciously have a type.
Yeah.
We all have a type and that's what we're attracted to.
Yeah. Even though they may look better on the surface, it often is the same underneath.
Mm.
So a lot of people just carry that unconscious patterning and behavior with them into the next relationship.
Mm. Mm. So what should they do? Come and see you. What would you do with them? What would you say to them?
What would I say? Come and see me.
Mm. When you get them there, what do you do?
Then we have a good chat and we actually sort through some of the stuff. Just backtracking a little bit. I was speaking to someone who was going to come and have one of my initial sessions just last week. And she was having some challenges around depression and she'd been quite a motivated person. She'd come along to my relationship workshop, the introductory one.
Yes.
And I actually offered a prize there for people. If people filled out the feedback form, then I'd offer a free session. Valued at $350.
Mm-hmm.
So she won that session and we were having a chat on the phone, which is part of my process. And she asked me, how do I get results? And I thought back for a moment and just recently I actually brought on board a coach and a mentor. I'd had all these ideas about doing workshops and sorting a whole lot of things out. But it was until I brought on coach and mentor, and I believe he's on next, Gary Jackson.
He is indeed.
It wasn't until Gary sort of got me focused and just started like from an external viewpoint, just said, well, let's focus just on this. What's the most important thing we need to work on? Let's just focus on that and get that right. Let's focus on this and get that right. So all the busyness started to go away. So I was then accountable to someone else. I then was able to focus and put my energy into just one or two things.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I have my workshops up and running. It's still some work to do. So again, that's why I said to her, I'd had this on the drawing board for a long time, but it wasn't until I actually took someone on board as a coach and mentor that the changes actually started to take place because I had that support, I had that accountability.
So even you, who teaches other people how to do it, needed to be coached as well.
Absolutely. I believe everybody needs a coach.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, in American culture, it's a lot more common to have a coach and a psychologist and psychiatrist to help out with issues. In Australian culture, it seems like everyone's got this attitude that we can all do it ourselves. We know what to do.
Ah, night out with the girls and you're fixed. You're cured.
Exactly.
A night out and lots of alcohol and suddenly all the problems go away. But they don't, as we well know.
Yeah. So the first thing we do is really get clear on what is the most important thing for that person at the time that they want to address.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can be a relationship, it might be personal issues. Generally, there is something that is most important and there's a whole lot of other busyness going on in their life. So part of my job is to help them get clear on that and say, okay, What is the one thing that we can just start on? Because there's an expression on how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Mm.
So by focusing on one thing, that can bring about changes in other areas of their life. They can start to feel that they're achieving. And I particularly look at, you know, looking at some long-term change that they've really, really been struggling with.
Okay.
So if someone comes to me with a half a dozen issues, like they could have a relationship or weight.
Two broken marriages. You can be unlucky for the first one, and then by the second one and the third one, you're actually quite careless. Well, really.
Yeah.
I think when people move to that third relationship, I think at that point intervention is required.
Would be nice.
Yeah. No one can be that unlucky.
Be nice if they could realise that.
Mm-hmm.
So then... Just working through and help people approach things differently, bring a bit of consistency, look at what patterns need to be addressed, create some more options, and really just find those points at which they want to create that change in their life. But mm-hmm. Starting to get really clear on what the relationship they want looks like
mm-hmm.
rather than what they don't want it to look like.
And does it work? Of course it works.
Of course it works.
Of course it works.
Some
people would need to be prodded a little more than others.
Prodded, supported.
Mm.
It's quite amazing what actually happens when people are actually allowed to be themselves and they know that everything is actually okay.
Right.
And that it's okay to fail.
Yeah.
It's okay to, like you say with children, it's okay to fall over, it's okay to fail. I set up the expectation that if you've been doing this for this habit, whatever it is, for the last 20 years, is it realistic to expect it to go away overnight?
Mm.
If you even start to think about, doing something different, 1 out of 10 times, then that's progress. Then it becomes 2, then it becomes 3, then it becomes 4, and then it starts to become a habit. So setting up a realistic expectation rather than the expectation in society, which is like, give me a pill, fix it quick.
Mm. Mm.
So actually look at that long-term change. I may have mentioned before one of the best results I've had hands down is working with someone for 12 months. Someone who came in when they were unhappy in their marriage and saw themselves being unhappier leaving it. So their choices, all they saw was being unhappier, yeah. Unhappier.
Yeah.
And then in 12 months' time, they said they were the happiest they'd ever been.
And were they still in the relationship?
They were still in the marriage.
Well, that's good.
And
now that's success. That is good.
And I hadn't met their husband.
Really? It was probably better that you didn't.
Yeah.
Because her problems were the way she perceived them. I mean, no matter how anyone tells you, the issue is how you perceive the issue. So it probably wouldn't serve much purpose in getting his side of the story anyway, because it was her perception of things.
Yeah,
it was probably out of kilter.
Well, it's looking at the change because she had lost her power.
Yeah.
So it was about reestablishing her own power, her own self, and supporting that. Because mm-hmm. one of the things that I always warn clients with is when they bring change into a relationship, their partner is actually going to want to resist it and keep them the same.
Yeah, of course.
So it's about supporting people to hold those boundaries so that they can then and the partner can escalate. So they'll use the same, control, bullying, mm-hmm. anger, whatever. Mm-hmm. To keep them the same. It's about holding that because then, love exists, they will actually give up and then actually move on and change themselves without realizing.
Sounds good. Does sound good. How do people get in touch with you, Keith?
They can contact me through my website, which is www.keithflynn.com.au.
That's, and it's Flynn with two N's.
Yeah, and it's a KEITHFLYNN.
Sounds
or
good.
They can contact me on my mobile, which is 0418 101 902.
Okay. Keith Flynn, we've just done Relationship Matters and it works because you have had some great successes. You had a workshop the other night and no doubt you'll have some more workshops coming up and we'll let people know when they are as the time draws closer. Thanks for joining us on The Sattler Files.
Thanks, SB.
This is The Sattler Files.